edge is actually super cool.
Yeah, it is. It is much better.
You have a lot of tools built in. They have the whole accessibility that built inside, testing inside, and better than Lifehouse. Yes, I'm saying that.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on at JS World Conf on Twitter.
Welcome to another JS World podcast. I'm Anuradha, working as front-end consultant at Passionate People, and with me is my colleague.
Hi, my name is Christopher. I also work as a front-end consultant at Passionate People. And today we are joined by the wonderful Maya Chavan, who has just done a wonderful talk on stage. Hey, Maya.
Hey, how are you? Hey,
that's supposed to be our question to you. What?
Come on. It's not so bad. You can say, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
We are amazing after hearing your talk.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, speak for yourself. I mean, we just got done talking about the useless stack. The useless stack, what does that even mean?
The useful stack?
The useful stack or the useless stack?
She filled it with all the useful stacks.
Oh, the unwanted stack.
I was like, what useful stack are we talking about?
I'm the worst prepared interviewer ever.
Oh my God.
Right.
So, well, the unwanted stack is a useful stack because in a way it's still useful. It just, you don't like it.
But why wouldn't we like the unwanted stack?
Well, do you like jQuery?
Yeah, I remember jQuery fondly. Okay.
Now still?
Remember fondly.
to be honest, like the way it, the CSS selector engine, or the selector engine for that was wonderful. I miss that sometimes.
Yeah, I actually like, missed that. I do like
animations in jQuery. Excuse the French. Hell no. But like selecting elements, that was really cool. Yeah. The event system was also really, really cool. It had some pretty good
ideas. Missed a lot of things about jQuery.
So maybe that's a pretty bad example because we missed jQuery.
No. Don't take my words for that. I'm just saying that basically just unwanted stack is what you, some of the stack, when you join a company, let's say, you know more or less what they're working with. So they know they're working with Vue, they're working with Vuex, so on, but you don't know the whole pictures. So sometimes you only get into the products, like you get into the team the first day at work, they will introduce you to the whole stack. And then now you suddenly saw that they're building with, I don't know, Webpack. I hate Webpack, so. So you're like, oh no, oh, what, why? Actually, that happened to every single person. Unless you're really, really lucky that you don't have any other stack on come up, or the stack come according to what you want in the beginning. But that's very rarely, because if it's come according to what you like, meaning someone else will suffer from that, because everyone is different, right?
Okay, yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
That's a crap.
So, but I'm here for the people who have not seen the talk. Let's just quickly go through the bio here. Well, what Maya says is we develop with Vue, build using Vite, and deploy using Netlify or Vercel sounds to be the perfect stack for every web developer. But life is not always that perfect.
Yep.
Nope. And to be a good developer, we need to learn and to adapt ourselves in any situation. So how do we make the most out of Vue in a less perfect or even an unwanted tech stack?
That's my talk, by the way.
That's the talk.
Actually, the talks, you can replace Vue with anything there and you still apply, because it's more about how you're going to make the most out of the current stack you have and how you're going to adapt yourself in the new team and the new working environment. Sometimes changing from one company to another company and they have a totally different things on it and you feel like a little bit lost. And of course, you always, when you join a new company, you feel like, I'm the coolest one here because I just got here. I make it here. You select me to be here. And I want to make change because you're very energetic. You're a honeymoon period. You're very energetic. So you want to make change. You want to do things. But then you see the stack and you're like, oh, aha, no. What's going on here? And this is how you got to the point that, okay, now you need to learn how to deal with the unwanted staff for you.
So I feel that, right? Because when, like for me also, like when you move from project to project, you are like, you are accustomed to the previous tech stack. Like, yeah, you started liking it or something, and then you were like, so yeah, this project uses maybe this CMS or something, but I like that one better. You know, we, and anything you do, and you start comparing in your head, like, yeah, but in that particular CMS something, I used to do it like that, and it was much more
slippery
better.
Slope to go down.
Yeah.
Don't you find it like interesting that when you start a new project, you're like, it's not what I'm used to, so I don't really like it, and then by the end of it, you're like, I have to switch again. I'm finally in love with my tech stack.
Yeah, that's possible. What are you doing? That's possible. That's very possible.
Amazing. So, have you experienced that often, that where you did have to switch tech stack and you got to this new project, you opened it up and you were like, yeah, we're not gonna be friends for a long time.
Yeah. So for my it's like a sine cos wave thing for me. So I started with jQuery and Knockout when I started. And then I went to React. I was like over the moon that I'm on React. From that React.
Wait, you went from jQuery straight to React?
My first project was with jQuery Knockout.
Oh, that's why she doesn't have dilemma.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, I went to React. So I was like, yes, this is where I want to work. And then I went to React. But from that React to another React project, I was like, this isn't weird. That project was much better. We were using so many cool things, micro frontends, blah, blah, blah. This is just a monorepo, like a big repo. I will hate it here. And then I start liking it. And then I go to another project. And I'm like, this is so much worse than what I was working at.
But I mean, if I take you back to like 2005, 2006, right? I started using jQuery back in 2005-ish or something.
I'm glad we have all used jQuery.
Like, no, but then I came from MooTools. Do you remember MooTools?
No.
Like MooTools and Prototype?
Yeah.
Holy Moses, was that like a... There was night and day difference, like what you say. And then suddenly, because it used to be like Prototype and MooTools was like niche and Prototype was like, you know, the top thing to use. And then you did sort of animations with that and like the really basic drag and drop things and stuff like that. 2005, right? And then jQuery came and was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then suddenly you had three instances of jQuery running on your website. You were like, what? What? So I had the dollar sign, I had jQuery with small j, capital Q,
that.
And then I would have jQuery with capital J and small q, and then you would have this website that was like 5 megabytes big because you would include jQuery all, and there were no bundlers, no nothing, but that was the stack. Crazy.
But that's how you were to do it.
And that's
how you do it.
We felt that we are in a revolutionizing world at that time for us.
Yes, exactly.
But jQuery is still alive.
I know, and it's still being developed.
So many people are using it. Like, if you see the people who are using it,
it's very powerful. It's very powerful because it gives you the DOM API has been improved a lot, but a lot of things that jQuery provide you out the box, like developer experience, is much better.
It's a very, very mature tool. It's just not the tool for modern day development anymore, but it still has its uses.
I work
especially
with that
if
also.
You work with IE9.
I still miss the
IE9. IE already dead. We don't talk about IE anymore.
Right, IE's been canceled. Is it official now?
Officially. So like we have the title, you know, the movie A Candle. So they have a song called We Don't Talk About Bruno.
We don't talk about IE. All right, that's actually a good one. But is still isn't IE then still living in the walls and knocking on the walls sometimes?
No.
Itself,
even inside Microsoft, we like officially say we not develop anything that compatible with IE. Like we're killing it from inside.
Why are there still businesses then that support like IE11?
It actually depends because let's say government offices, they're very slow on that because when you use some applications on government level, you need to do a lot of securities and a lot of protocols go according to it. IE come together with Windows 8, so you don't have to go through all of this together. But I think that now they changed it to switch to Edge. So now
that's fair enough. So it's a bit more up to date.
But also the code base of IE, it's not open source, right? It's not there. So you will have less chance to be hacked, even though I think a lot of people hacked it, so it doesn't matter. But compared to Chromium, people don't know the source code.
Yeah.
When you don't know the source code, you don't know how to less the chance that you want to attack.
Wasn't it the case where at some point they had other browsers using the Trident engine? But this is like a long time ago, so
probably.
I don't remember correctly.
I'm not in that department, so I don't know so much. But IE did.
Yeah, IE dead. I can live with that.
Yeah. Sure. And Edge.
No, we can thrive with that.
And Edge is actually very cool, you know. Edge is actually super cool.
Yeah, it is. It is much better.
You have a lot of tools built in. They have the whole accessibility that built inside, testing inside, and better than Lighthouse. Yes, I'm saying that.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Better than Lighthouse. All right.
Oh,
so let's...
No, I'm a GDE. I cannot say bad thing about it.
We'll edit that out.
It's not a bad thing. It's like, okay, anyways, I'm also a GDE, so.
No, Lighthouse is good. Still, if you're using Chrome, use Lighthouse.
Yeah, I was just looking at our engineer. I said, well, we'll edit this out. I'm going to look at the camera. We'll edit this out.
All right.
Anyway, but going back to like the unwanted stack. So now we've talked about like the developer tools. So we think like Webpack or maybe React or Vue or whatever. But are there any other things from the unwanted stack where you would have like tips for developers? Say like, if you encounter an unwanted stack, this is what you can do to get more comfortable with it, or this is what you can do to potentially be a source of change for the stack.
There's a lot of way you can improve it. Of course, one of the most straightforward things that you do is propose a change. But propose a change, you need to have a way to propose a change, because everyone in the team knows that they need to change. Anyway, we always have a tech debt. We always have something that we don't want to do and we know that it's not good. So when you propose a change, sometimes you need to say, okay, it has to be in a way that everyone relate to it. And it makes sense to them, but it's not everything you can go ahead and say, listen, Vue is much better than Webpack, let's switch to it. Now, we have to see, well, if you are new to the team, then you have first, I would say, try to learn about the products and understand why do they use Webpack instead of Vue. If there's no real reason for it, then okay, we can go a demo or do a demo for that. And show the data, not talking about words. You actually show the data by doing a demo, compare between these two builds, show it to the team with the proper things. Okay, this is how it takes to build 10,000 files in development. This is how it takes to build it with Vue in the same criteria. And we're going to choose the significant improvement. Propose this is what we can do better. Again, sometimes the team agree with you, but the platform will not allow you to do that because you work with the corporate and corporate have their own platform. And sometimes you develop tools that will be deployed using that platform, and the platform itself have their own build tool. And the build tool not necessarily what you want to do, but you cannot, they say you cannot build a project that build on Vue and also install Webpack inside in order for them to do bundle, right? Because it's just like what you have to build to here, what you want to do. So sometimes you need to understand that step back, we change from some other angle. Because let's say you have a lot of files and the speed of compiling the files would take long. So what can we change from the files? Like from the way we write code, whether we can shake up anything that we don't need, any old code that we don't need. So just try to do from different angle instead of go straight forward to the same, like change it, refactor it, build a different thing or change the whole tool. So, I mean, I hope it makes sense.
No, it makes sense. You say if I would have to translate this into like a single sentence, show the business value.
Yeah.
Faster builds.
Yeah, it's
easier to work with, faster testing. I have no idea, but like, have the actual cases ready and presentable. Like,
but it's not the actual case, not the simplest case. Let's say if you do, for example, if you choose a testing tool, your testing framework, normally we would do that, okay, you go and write some demo with some simple code and try out how easy to write it, right? But when you do a demo, if you show only the simple case, it doesn't really work. It can show the business value on that because it's easy to set up and so on. But even if it's easy to set up, but it failed later on, and after you already use it, it failed the most critical case that you wanted to cover, then the whole effort will waste because you cannot use it anymore. So the approach of building demo or showing the business value have to come from the hardest case you can choose. hardscape at the current moment for your application. So for example, we work with a lot with iframe, and testing accessibility on iframe is horrible.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So when we choose the testing framework, one of the first case we say we need to have a tool that will test iframe for us.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we do a demo on that, specifically on accessibility testing and on iframe. And if it passed, good, move forward to the next day. Now we're going to evaluate further, but
and at least it is able to do one of the toughest business cases that you have or use cases.
To address critical pain points and make sure that we are doing it better with the...
In the end, it's just about what value it brings to you. So.
Mm. Well, that makes perfect sense.
You don't need to like it. You just need to work with it.
I mean, can we have both?
Well, yeah. I mean, eventually, if you can work with it, you will like it.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't like it, but I start using it and I find value in it, then I will start liking it.
Then at some point you have to switch projects and the whole process starts over again.
Well, you know, it will be best if you like the stack you're doing. But of course, you have stack is a combination of a lot of different tools. So at some point you will find something that you don't like. So, but then at this point, you probably will have to do evaluation for yourself. Do you like this one more than you like the like working with the rest of the stack? That enough for you to not want to use it anymore and want to like push to change it in any time? If so, then push for the change. But which means that push for the change, you need to go on the force because you need to convince the whole team for it.
Yeah,
exactly. And pushing should not come from that point of view that just because I like this better, I work with it in the past. But from that perspective, that what's better for that product where I'm working at.
Yeah.
So like, as you told, business value.
Yeah. It's like you cannot ask SEO. SEO.
Yeah.
You cannot ask SEO to enterprise applications where they like a flat a dashboard or something that they don't need SEO. So the whole thing of SEO, like, why do you need this? You don't need this more.
That's fair enough. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think we always want to round off the interviews with one final question for every speaker. And that is, what is the one, quote unquote, development life hack that you want to pass on to the audience?
Yes.
And this could be what changed something for you as a developer or maybe as a person.
As a person, anything life hack.
Anything else.
Development
as long as it's just one hack.
One hack that changed my life?
Maybe there's an IE.
Or ease your life,
It could also be like a zero day.
I know. Copilot.
Yeah, Copilot.
Copilot.
Oh my God, this is Copilot. I love Copilot.
It's actually so much fun.
How much does Microsoft pay to say that? Looking at
Microsoft
you.
You know what?
I know. Someone's just wondering how much.
Let's just not deny the fact that almost every cool stuff is developed by Microsoft, shall we?
I love Microsoft.
Look, TypeScript, you have to use TypeScript.
Yeah, okay.
Trust me, you have to use TypeScript.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. That's true. But, I mean, wasn't Copilot already being developed by GitHub itself before they were bought?
I actually don't know because I'm not in the team, so I don't know.
Okay.
But I only know that they only released Copilot after they got bought, so yeah. Technically, they still belong to Microsoft.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but Copilot is really cool. Like, I like it that I was trying to write something like text. Like, you can literally write blogs with Copilot. It just suggests you a better text. I'm like, oh my God, that is the best. You keep on tabbing.
Maybe, now this would be an interesting one. I have an idea for a talk. Yeah.
Yeah, you just start Copilot and whatever it starts.
Actually,
the Copilot generated talk. Isn't that awesome?
Oh,
like Copilot has Copilot. So the don't steal my idea. All right.
And if you see this guy talking at a conference, it would most probably be powered by Copilot.
No, he will invite a guy named Jason on stage.
Yeah, Jason as in J-S-O-N.
Yeah.
let's make it quick.
We can always have that guy and blame that guy for everything bad happens.
Yeah, and everything is being narrated by Microsoft Sam.
No, that's not true.
Right, on that note, Maya, thank you so much for coming on today.
It was so much fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.